what are you looking forward to most, not just when Tennessee comes to town, but, you know, over the 4 days, what storylines are you closely following, not just, you know, like I said, from the Vols' perspective, but also the other 13 teams as well?
I like the guys that they're actually sending their quarterbacks. A lot of times,
amen,
they'll just, you know, the coaches will send guys who were going to give the least amount of quote whatsoever. Frankly, last year that was the case. They sent the guys that were going to say the least. Even Tennessee did that as well. It seems like we got a nice mix of guys who may actually, you know a few things, say a few things. It always does a disservice to your players to never let someone who's going to be a front-facing player deal with the media in college where it's a controlled environment and people are kind of them, right? So I've never understood that, but I like that the coaches are kind of doing that this year. There's always that storyline that comes out of it too, right? A couple of years ago we had Houston Nutt and Hugh Freeze and that whole situation that went down. We've had the Gus Malzahn versus Saban and Brett Bielema as far as the spread offenses and, you know, the claim that players would get hurt. So that's the big thing I want to see. I also want to see, Johnny, and I know you're aware of this as well, Ed Ogeron. How long can Ed Ogeron filibuster by reading off his roster and commenting on literally every player on his roster so that he doesn't have to answer questions for the media in the main room?
Yeah, because you're allotted a certain amount of time when you're in that situation. Les Miles used to basically how I spent my summer vacation, because he would take up as much time as possible, thus limiting the number of questions in that room in that particular breakout session. And so you're right. I love the ones who are not afraid to answer the questions. You know, they get down, say a few key points, and then open up the floor. And I love those kind of interview sessions.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so it'll be interesting to look. I'm glad it's back in Hoover. I don't know what you thought about last year, but I just thought Atlanta was an abject failure. The way that this setup went and things like that, the way that kind of Radio Row was, where because it was in one big ballroom, it seemed like a lot of players and coaches were afraid to come through. So I'm glad that it's back in Hoover a little bit. I also got locked out of my room two different times at the Omni there, so it'll be good to be back at the Winfrey, where if I get locked out of my room, I know, you know, the protocol a little bit better. So, yeah, I'm glad that it's back there in Hoover, and there's a little bit more crazy there in Hoover in the state of Alabama than there is in Atlanta.
Well, I think in the way I described the difference between Atlanta and Hoover and Birmingham, and by the way, anticipating the announcement next week that next year's will be here in Nashville, and I think that whether you're talking about Nashville or even Atlanta can certainly learn from the mistakes in Atlanta last year. But I described, you know, the difference is like in Birmingham, especially that lobby area with the fan bases showing up, and certainly more so when Alabama's day is, but all 14 teams well represented by their fan bases. But you got a feel of it, right? You got some of that emotions, and the players, the coaches, everybody, you know, got energized as soon as those fans started yelling out their names. You didn't get that last year in Atlanta, and it was almost like saying you're holding a national championship game and not allowing the fans of Alabama and Clemson to actually come into the stadium in January last year. And so I like the fact it's back in Birmingham/Hoover, and I think moving forward, I think Nashville can benefit, and even Atlanta can benefit as well from watching how Birmingham-Hoover does it.
Yeah, and I agree. And the one thing that I think it's tough for ESPN, and I like ESPN. I'm not an ESPN hater. But it's tough because I think that a lot of the people are going to be in, like, they have such a huge presence in this thing and a huge say in the way that Media Days goes down now. It can be tough, I think, for the people on their end, the suits, not to turn this thing into an insurance convention. And unfortunately, the more involved they are, the more it becomes like an insurance convention. Last year, it was almost like a convention, not like Media Days. Part of Media Days that makes it so great, and SEC Media Days so much better than Big 12, ACC, Big 10 Media Days, is just the chaos of the whole thing. And I think they were trying to remove the chaos, not really aware that, no, the chaos is part of the charm of the entire event. It's kind of what makes the event, is the chaos on top of it. So I appreciate that ESPN is doing their best to kind of step aside a little bit on that, and it looks like with the setup this year that they maybe have done that, and the SEC's maybe figured that out a little bit more.
You know, we talk about ESPN, and I will say this. I thought that they overpaid for some of their product and certainly for some of their talent. And I think what has suffered, what made ESPN special for my eyes, you know, when I see a breakdown for an upcoming game, for example, when I would see a stat, you know, did you know, like in the last five games, Team A has done this or that, Because of all the firings of the folks that are, you know, who were basically doing that for a living, coming up with those interesting tidbits, I can't count on that information being correct, because so many times I'm like, you know, that's not right, and that stat's not right. And so I think the small detailed stuff that made ESPN special, not only when it launched, but even as, you know, when you go back just 10 years ago, it's pretty sad when you're talking about the mothership of sports stations from a TV standpoint, and you can't trust the information. That's a problem.
Well, they became focused on issues, right? And I do think it seems like the new management there is getting away from that, where the issues were more important than the game. And it looks like they're getting, but as they've done that, there's always been the claim that, well, this is what the audience wants. Well, your ratings have been going downhill ever since then, right? You have a smaller and smaller audience, and your ratings are cut in half since you've gotten away from the games to the time that beforehand that you were actually focusing on the games themselves. Sports fans like sports. It's one of the things that whenever young people come to me, because, you know, there are 300 people that graduate from the University of Tennessee, to nothing but just a sports radio track, right, every semester at UT, and they all, you'll have kids that'll reach out to you. What do I need to do here? How do you get break into the industry? Because we have 9 salary jobs in East Tennessee for sports radio, period. And so I'm always like, man, the new thing is going to be the old thing. Go back to sports. That's the thing the audience wants. They don't need to hear about sports and culture. They don't want to care. They don't care about sports and politics. They don't want that stuff involved. They like the games. And so I think that it seems as if maybe the new management's getting closer to that a little bit, which is good. But you're right, with the cost-cutting measures, unfortunately, they kept, you know, I mean, a lot of the blowhards and got rid of some of the people that, you're right, that, you know, gave you the numbers from Elias and numbers Fire and things like that. I will say this, though. They've done a good job. Like, I'm an Edge NFL matchup guy, and I loved that show forever. You couldn't find it. They just kept burying it at, like, 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. on Sunday or things like that. They've done a solid job, I think, with game plan stuff and things like that and X's and O's when it comes to SEC Network. So I won't tip my cap to them, but there's some of the guys they're brought in. Cole Kubelik's a guy that they brought in that does a fantastic job giving you an idea of what the offensive line's doing and things like that. So I think that they've done a solid job with SEC Network, and I would like to see them maybe double down with new management now at ESPN to get away from the issues and get back to the games themselves.
And I totally agree with Cole Kubelik. He's been a long time, and I'm biased because we are friends. I've known him for over a decade now, and, you know, he does his homework, and he doesn't rely on other folks to do his homework for him, and that's a positive. Unfortunately, I can't say that about, you know, the entire roster of the, as you called them, blowhards. I can't necessarily say that about them. I think, you know, you're talking about advice for those that are just out of college and wanting to break into the industry, whether it's radio, TV, whatever. Don't take shortcuts. You know, it still comes back down to doing the basics and making sure you get them right before expanding upon them, and make sure you have a strong foundation, and don't neglect the little things.
Yeah, no, you're right. I always tell people I do at least an hour and a half of show prep for every hour I'm on air, right? And that's where you have to be prepared is. And that's how you're prepared. And that's why when something goes wrong, and it does go wrong, like what if the phone's around and you can't take phone calls? You need to be able to carry content. You don't need to be able to, well, let's play this recorded interview from, that's the difference in somebody who's a pro at this and somebody who's just out there collecting a check, right? So I think that that's something also that I tell the young people. But I'm hoping that in this era right now, as we've gotten past all the, you know, hot-taking about Kaepernick and hot-taking about, you know, I think some people try with Rapinoe. It doesn't seem like it really got a lot of legs as far as in the sports world. I know it did in the political entertainment world. I'm just hoping we get back to the games, because that's why I fell in love with this, is I love the games, right? I mean, I love football. I love basketball. I love baseball. I played all three of them growing up every year of my life, right? So I just, my 5'4", 40 didn't translate itself into being able to play at a particularly high level anywhere. So it's I just like that we're kind of back in that era, and I hope that's what the talk can be about when we get to media days, is it can be about the games, the players, the coaches, the football, the passion, the fans, all of those things that make SEC football great.
I mean, it's almost like with the number of folks covering the SEC media days, you can almost take the other four of the Power Five conferences combined, and the SEC still may have more than those combined. I mean, I know it's a slight exaggeration, but not much of one. And the other part of it, too, is the fact that, I mean, having a chance to sit down with the commissioner, and now, of course, it's the Greg Sankey era, but having a chance to, you know, spend 10 to 15 minutes picking apart the mind and asking key questions from somebody with one-on-ones, I know you'll have that opportunity as well. of one of the most powerful men, not only in college football, but in all of college athletics. And then a very humble individual like a Bill Hancock. I always brag about the fact that who would not want his resume if you're a sports fan? I mean, used to head up the Final Four, used to head up the BCS. Now he's head of the college football playoff and one of the more down-to-earth individuals you ever want to be around.
You know, and everybody loves Bill Hancock. Even the people who would vehemently disagree with Bill Hancock during the BCS era always spoke incredibly high of him as a man, right? Like the kind of guy he is. So, no, you're right. It's great to be able to do that stuff. And so, that's what I hope the focus is when we go down there. And I hope that we can. It's always cool to do that. You know, my co-host now, Johnny, is from he's from Knoxville. He was a UT grad, but he was one of those guys. There were no jobs available in East Tennessee, so he took a job at Iowa, and he covered Iowa and Iowa State football for the station up there. And he would say, you know, this is his first year that there would be SEC media days for him. And he said, so when you're sitting at the table with like Urban Meyer, and I'm like, oh, that's not the way it goes. Like, because the Big Ten media days, they sit at a table, and anyone who wants to report on them or interview them walks over, sits down, does a 10-minute one-on-one, gets up, the next person does that. They're there for 2 to 4 hours, and that's really all the demand that you have for it. At the SEC, it's 1,200 media members, and the whole thing is just chaos. So it's just a different animal than all the rest of them. And so it was interesting having to explain to him, oh, no, you're not just going to walk up to a table where Nick Saban is sitting. No. I watch Nick Saban send state troopers through the bathroom to make all the media members clear out before he goes and goes number one in the urinal, right? So it is not the same at all as Big Ten media days.
You know, I will say this, and this is what I don't understand. I mean, the interesting thing of that concept you just brought up, you know, you look at the success Alabama's had under Nick Saban. You look at the great job that they do as far as recruiting. Of the 14 teams, you can make the argument that Alabama, of the 14, probably the one university that does not need to take or doesn't have to take advantage of all the opportunities. But guess what? They do. And then you see, and I always dog on Mississippi State because they deserve to be dogged on. I don't care if you're talking about Sylvester Croom or Dan Mullen or Coach Moorhead. Mississippi State, historically, over the last two decades, the worst university of taking advantage of opportunities. It's things like this where if you're winning the SEC West each and every year, or if you're in the top two or three in the SEC West each and every year, then okay, I'll give you, if that's your way you want to do it, fine. But if you're not, you better be taking advantage of these chances to speak to potential student athletes in Texas, in Missouri, in Florida, wherever the case may be on that entire SEC landscape and that footprint. And Mississippi State never does it. If anybody's listening right now that's an alum of Mississippi State, you know, feel free to contact your university because they do the bare minimum each and every year at SEC Media Days.
I thought Moorhead tried to do a lot last year, which was good because Mullen was not, right? Mullen was not going to do any
Coach Croom didn't either. He was awful about it.
Yeah. So you're right. They absolutely blow that opportunity. Derek Mason does a great job of making sure he gets as much of that opportunity. There was a coach, I won't say it's not Darren Pruitt, not Butch Jones, but one of the guys that was before that would always say, I'm not going to do Radio Row, or I'm really not going to spend that much time doing one-on-ones because it's not like the kids are listening. And I would always argue with them, but the parents are. And they're going to have a very large say in what the coaches are and all of these things. And they're going to have a very large say. You get an opportunity to get yourself and create new pipelines for yourself into all the different markets in the Southeast where everybody else wants to recruit. So, I mean, this is just an opportunity for you. Do you want to take advantage of it or not? I mean, James Franklin was a guy when he was at Vanderbilt. I've never seen anybody at Media Days take advantage of the opportunity like James Franklin did.
When was your first year, by the way?
My first year, this is my 10th.
Okay, so were you there still? So you missed out on Tommy Tuberville then.
I did miss out on Tuberville.
I have an unofficial award I give out each and every year, and it's called the Tommy Tuberville Award. Because this was back in the day when SEC Media Days was still 3 days, not 4 days. This was prior to Texas A&M and Missouri. Tommy Tuberville didn't just show up the day that Auburn was there. He showed up all 3 days, in the morning, in the afternoon. He'd be there having coffee with the morning folks. He'd be there in the afternoons. Even on the days that Auburn wasn't featured, he took full advantage of getting the Auburn story out there. I thought, as you pointed out, James Franklin did an outstanding job multiple days of making himself known as far as SEC Media Days. And Derek Mason has taken that baton. Every year since Derek Mason has been head coach at Vanderbilt, he also is he's been the unofficial winner of the Tommy Tuberville Award each and every year because of that.
Yeah, no, and they do a great job. I'll tell you another thing Mason does too. Everybody else is trying to big tell, not everybody. A lot of the guys are trying to big tell everybody, and they've got their state trooper entourage and their people, and they're, no one can get near them. And Derek Mason rolls up in shorts and a T-shirt with his family, hey, and sends them up the elevator with the bags from, you know, Belk or whatever, to with them all there, and sits down and does three interviews, right?
Right.
Like, that's the kind of thing that's just normal guy stuff. You can have a normal guy conversation with Derek Mason, and you can with a lot of other coaches. Frankly, the thing he did is he looked at it like it was a networking event. And so it was almost like he's walking in, handing his card, and he would, like, ask people that how I met him was – he asked a mutual friend of ours that he'd done an interview with the day before Vanderbilt went to introduce him to the people on our station, because we were in the state of Tennessee as well. And he started making jokes about how Vandy's going to take over East Tennessee from the University of Tennessee. And I was like, that's unbelievably brash. But you know what? Everybody in East Tennessee knew that guy's name. And some of the players that, you know, we had players that ended up going to Vanderbilt to play baseball that didn't before that, to play, you know, I mean, things like that, and other sports, because of the way that the branding and that James Franklin started and Derek Mason's done a great job of continuing.
I mean, you hit on it strongly a while ago when you talked about the parents are listening. You got the aunts and uncles listening as well. I mean, and then you've got all these interviews being posted. And I mean, think about it. If you're talking about somebody who played high school ball at a potential recruit's high school, for example, they're going to pay attention to these interviews. Then they're going to listen. And that's why you need to take full advantage of them. And I go back to, like, you know, each and every year you expect, especially with the student athletes, Alabama does a good job, Tennessee, the Georgia Bulldogs, Auburn, all do amazing jobs, especially with the student athletes portion of that. And I don't think it's an accident, too, when we're talking about, I mean, look at Alabama. I mean, the fact that, you know, they could, you could see where they're going to take they're going to miss Radio Row this year, for example. They're just going to do the bare minimum, but they never do. They come down,
yep.
You can count on them coming down twice. They'll come in before they're expected upstairs, and they'll come back when they have time, when they're done upstairs, and try to get have as many hits as possible. And everybody always said, well, it's because they were in Tuscaloosa. Well, they weren't in Tuscaloosa last year when it was held in Atlanta, and guess what? They were still doing the same thing because that's the way they operate.
Yeah, you know, the other guy last year that surprised me that he did as many as he did was Kirby Smart, right? Kirby Smart did a lot of hits last year. So that's a smart way to do it. I mean, again, it's an opportunity to be – I mean, you never know where your recruiting is. I mean, you're in Nashville right now, right? How many kids has Alabama pulled out of Middle Tennessee lately, right? And so if you are Mississippi State, if you are Ole Miss, if you are – you want to be on the radio in Nashville so that the parents hear that and say, it's not just your football program. It's your football program first, but it's the other programs as well to get publicity based on your football coach being live in that market. And you're 100% right. So many people blow that opportunity to do that. I mean, and I'll be real. Tennessee's had a number of them that just had opportunity after opportunity that we want to push this brand. We want to get into this market. We want to that kind of thing. And then it's like, well, but you're not doing the interviews for the radio that's there. I mean, you know how many people are listening? If you got a kid that's a high school recruit and you're Butch Jones and he's not considering Tennessee because Tennessee's not been good lately, then go on in Nashville. Go on in Atlanta. Go on. You know what I mean? Like, it made no sense to me whatsoever why coaches get so guarded about that kind of thing and, frankly, get lazy.
It's funny you hit that nail on the head on that one, because I think it is laziness, because it's a different animal when you're talking about answering a few questions upstairs than having your players prepared to do one-on-ones. And I think that a lot of teams, they don't want to have to put in the extra work. Media relations department, you know, if you don't have to do the extra work, it'll be easy to say, well, the coach doesn't want to do that, so we're not going to do it. You know, you have to prepare these three representatives of your institution for any question that could be out there. The hot topics, they could be, you know, there'll be some folks that want to throw the curveball and try to embarrass a player or a team. And a lot of these media relations departments and a lot of these schools, they don't want to necessarily put themselves in that situation. However, I mean, you look at the ones who do it the right way. I mean, it's like Alabama each and every year, you know, and I've been very fortunate every year since 2008, every player representing the Crimson Tide, I've had everyone on the show. And there's some stations that never get anybody as far as any players for any of the 14 on. And that just shows you the effort being made by certain institutions compared to some that not so much.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you a very specific example here in Tennessee. The best SID I've ever seen is Tom Sykowiak that does Tennessee's basketball. I've never seen anything like it because the players, they make players go through classes, interview classes and things like that.
Right.
And they'll take part of their 20 hours to do those types of things so that they're prepared as young men. And so the difference between Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball, is Tennessee football now, Zach's done a great job and they're in good shape now, but some of the people that were there in the past would want to hide the players. And then what would happen is you would end up on the day of media days, one of the players would walk up to like me or Josh Ward and say, I'm scared to death. What's going to happen up there? And we'd have to break it down to him. Look, this is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to handle it. But Tennessee's basketball players always end up interviewing well in the draft process as well. Grant Williams, one of the reasons he's a first-round pick, he doesn't fit anywhere in the NBA with the way the NBA plays now. You know, he'll work hard enough to keep himself on a roster. But Grant Williams has been going through 3 years of interview course training with Tom Sykowiak at the Sports Information Department in Tennessee. And that guy, everything you read about him in the draft process, crushed interviews. Admiral Schofield crushed his interviews. Sometimes the Tennessee football players, man, they bomb their interviews, especially in the past. So, frankly, it hurt their money. Because it's not just, if you can't interview with me, how are you going to interview with those teams that are wanting to talk to you at the combine, right? So you've got to have these guys prepared to be able to speak publicly, to speak for themselves publicly, and to be able to own up to maybe anything that has happened in their lives publicly, and to be able to tell their story. Because if you don't tell your story, somebody else is going to do it for you, and that's the last thing you want.